Father, Lord, again, we thank you as we worshiped. It's just overflowing, the joy that we have that comes from your Spirit, Lord, to be able to sing our praises. And now as we lift up our hearts with these petitions to you, we pray for all these folks, Lord, that they recover and they will continue to stay focused on you, Lord. We pray for the team, Lord. We thank you for their arrival. And now we just pray that you would be with them as they minister down there to the Belizean folks, that everything that they had accomplished in their hearts and would be taken care of, Lord, that the ministry down there would be blessed. And we especially lift up this gal Bernadette to you, Lord, and pray that she has just restoration in her spirit, Lord, that she would be able to overcome these things in the past, Lord. And we know that this is possible, Lord, through your Spirit. So we just pray a blessing on her, Lord, right now as we speak, that she would be healed and amended, and that the past would be the past, and that she would be praising and honoring and glorifying you for what she has today, Lord. Again, we thank you for this time, Lord. Now speak through me, Lord, to this body, to us, to be able to hear from your Spirit, Lord, what it is you want for us to know from your word tonight, Lord. So be blessed, be honored, and glorified as we come and we seek your face, Lord, and to spend time with the one person who we adore the most and cherish the most, Lord, and that's you, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, part number two of the Grace and Peace little two-part teaching that we came up with. Hopefully, well, I know Rick, let's see, they're coming back, I think, the fifth team comes back, right? Let me check in my journal. Yep. Yeah, the team today, because I'm going to pick them up on Tuesday. Well, it doesn't make sense. The team leaves for home. That is Tuesday. It says Sunday, but is that? Sunday, April 3rd, Monday, and then it says Sunday, April 5th again.
I know.
Who made these up?
Me. Hire somebody else.
Oh, boy. We're going to have to, we already had to cut your pay once today for errors.
I know.
Now again?
I
think you're going to be owing us.
She's so cute.
She is cute. She is cute, but that is not, you know, she's used that excuse in the past before. The cuteness is running off. Okay, now that you've got me thoroughly confused. It is Tuesday, the 5th. Okay. Yeah, because I'm going to be in Vegas anyhow to pick them up on Tuesday and bring them back home. Okay, so we learned last week that, well, hopefully we learned last week, or we saw in God's Word last week, that grace and peace were synonymous, kind of like. They kind of went ham and eggs, you know, and some of those other things, Jack and Jill and
unicorns and glitter.
There you go. Thanks, Flo. Those things kind of go hand in hand. Grace and peace. Can you have one without the other? Yes. Should you? Well, as we're going to see tonight, probably not, because we learned last week that the grace is, it's a supernatural thing, right? It doesn't come from this world, and it surely doesn't come from us or anything in this world, that it comes supernaturally. It's divine intervention strictly from God. We can choose to ignore the grace that he extends to us, and if we do that, then it would be headed under the term of being kind of ignorant for us, or stupid, or all those words that would really define that, because as we learned last week, to be effective in one's relationship with Christ, in one's journey, and their ministry, grace was, we determined, basically this big umbrella, if you will, the analogy, that we sit under, and all these things basically flow from grace, right? And as we're going to see tonight, that basically, peace, the grace, and the second half of it, peace, as we learned in, and especially in Paul's epistles, that the salutations were always grace and peace, grace and peace, which Paul's heart was for those, you know, people that he was writing these letters to in these early churches, because of all the folks, I mean, here we are some 2,000 years later, sitting under, you know, this fabulous teacher we have in Pastor Rick, and we've been exposed to all these ministries, if you will, these Christian terms, you know, this vocabulary and vernacular that we have, and the Holy Spirit has been within the body of Christ now for 2,000 some years. Unfortunately, those early believers and those churches that Paul was writing to, that wasn't the case for them. They were coming out of Judaism primarily, and if they were Gentiles, then they were just coming out of hedonistic ways, you know, serving several other gods. So they didn't really have the way paved, kind of like is the difference between, you know, traveling down a road that's this super highway, or these interstates that we have out there, nice and smooth, and as we travel down them, you know, it's like pretty comfortable, you know, we can, compared to like theirs would be this terrain that was full of potholes and chuck holes and uneven and with the square tires and just constantly being, you know, knocked around by. So they didn't have that. So I'm sure that's why Paul started a lot of his epistles, or probably all of them. I didn't check on all of them, but the ones I did check on, grace and peace. Peace is just primarily, it's a byproduct of grace, because we know everything flows from God to his church, right? And to his body, which is us sitting here. You guys are truly the body, because you're here tonight. You know, pastor's not here. It could be ideal to be able to stay home. But kudos to you guys, because you're really seeking. Well, of course, for Bill. Bill's wife made him come, so.
That's George.
Oh, that's George. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, we learned that peace, basically, you know, you've heard the terminology, we live in the age of grace, right? We all know that grace pertaining to our salvation that we learned last week. Of course, we all knew this, but as Ephesians 2:8 tells us, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ, right? That's the new covenant, by, through, in. Whereas the old covenant, it was just through their faith, because grace hadn't been revealed. We know from Scripture that God reveals to his people what he wants, when he wants, in his time. Because after all, this is his world. We occupy space up in it for how long? We don't know. You know, hopefully we'll be here tomorrow. But if not, because of grace, we know that we will be in the kingdom. We know that we will be in glory. So if nothing else, we learn from grace, and we do learn a lot, and we continue, because remember, it was defined as something that it was given to us. It's not like pertaining to our salvation. It's a free gift, right? But we need to continue to live in it and under it, through it, around that umbrella every day, because of the things that happen to us because of, well, bottom line is, as we're going to learn tonight, because of the position that we're in. And every Christian should be in Christ, right? And Christ alone, because that's why we need grace. Because the world, we learn and we know that doesn't like grace. You know, the world, we all know that it'll chew you up, spit you out in a heartbeat. They don't care about you or any of us, you know. And We know that because no matter what happens in the world, what happens? Keeps on moving. Time. Nothing doesn't change. It doesn't stop. If you bang your finger with a hammer or something, you know, no matter what happens or transpires in the world, tragically, every day in somebody's life, something happens, but the world doesn't care. It doesn't stop, and it doesn't, you know, send out sympathy cards and things. But as Christians, that's grace we learned that we have to function under. So that being said, peace is a byproduct of grace. Without grace, there's no peace. Simple as that. Without grace, there's not a lot of things, but especially in peace. So the first question I want to ask tonight is peace important in a Christian's life? Is peace important in a Christian's life? Okay, I think we'll all agree that, yeah, unanimous. Got to have it. Is it something that we have a propensity for? You know, our nature. Peace. No. Because the more we are... the more we know about our nature, which comes from God's Word, we see that it's not a nature of peace. It's one of basically, you know, if God tells us our righteousness is like filthy rags, and our hearts are wicked and deceitful, and our flesh is, you know, the minute we're born, it's eroding, if you will. The world around us, as we see, is falling apart. You know, the evil that we see in the world, just everything that we're exposed to, it's not really pretty. So peace, then, in a Christian's life kind of equates to like the opposite of peace in the world. And there is a difference between peace that comes from God and peace that comes from the world. Contrary to grace, grace doesn't come from the world. But, you know, if you go out and take a survey on the street, well, they say, well, in Webster, how would you define peace? They would give you a different definition. Well, well, everything's cool, man. Or, you know, which everything is just groovy, you know. It's when everything's going good. When everything's going good, right? Well, that's contrary to what Scripture tells us. Right, in a Christian's life, because it tells us that first and foremost, Christ set the example for us. We look to him and we see that, yes, there was peace in his life because he was the author of peace. But that peace that the world had to offer him was not peace at all. I mean, he relates the stories to us that, you know, primarily, if you're going to take up your cross and follow me, then there's going to be trouble. Trouble, like that commercial again. Trouble, worry. You know, those things are our nature. This is what the world offers to us, right? So I kind of equated peace in this part of the study to trouble as, you know, another analogy would be light to the dark. Peace comes from the grace that God sends to us. And we know Jesus is peace, like we sang, right? So appropriately, that song, Jesus is our peace, right? Jesus is the light, right? Light and dark have absolutely nothing in common, right? Dark is a void of light, basically, by definition. If it's dark, you have no light. So if the light's exposed, then you have no dark. Jesus comes into our life, now we have light. Peace comes along with him. But trouble also comes, and not in the form from him, but from the world. So the peace that we strive for, the peace that we must obtain, is a peace that comes from Christ. And it's Jesus' way of peace. It's not the world's peace. It's Christ's peace. So for that, scripturally based, I have, if you want to turn with me to John 14, the Gospel of John 14:27. I have this Amplified Bible, and I like to go to it from time to time because of how it expounds on the scriptures. It's really cool sometimes, the take they have on, but especially on this scripture when it pertains to the peace. And this is probably one of the most famous scriptures on peace. It's again John 14, and here Jesus is talking about, you know, the help, the intercessors. John is talking about, he's just Judas Iscariot was talking with him, and in the 27th verse of the 14th chapter of John, well, let's actually start in the 26th chapter. It says here, but the Comforer, as we know, the Holy Spirit, or Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. They always add, this Amplified Bible does exactly that. It amplifies things to it. The Holy Spirit, all these terms, whom the Father will send in my name and in my place to represent me on account for my behalf, will teach you all things. And right there, what's exclusive when he says we'll teach you all things? All things that are relevant to being a Christian. All things that glorify God. He doesn't have to teach us these things that come from the flesh. He'll teach us all things. And he will cause you to recall, or will remind you and to bring you in of your remembrance everything that I have told you. Right? And he's talking and he's addressing and he's talking to his disciples. Then in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, not my own peace. Now I give and bequeath to you, not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated or disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You know, all those, I guess they're adjectives or adverbs, I guess. I'm not sure which one. Who's the English majors in here? I'd say adjectives. But my peace I give to you. Again, in Luke, the first chapter of Luke, if we could turn there real quick. We're not going to do much scripture reference tonight. But in Luke, the first chapter of Luke, in the 79th verse, getting back to the lightness and the darkness. It says, to shine upon and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct and to guide our feet in a straight line into the way of peace. Into the way of peace. So obviously, as the scriptures tell us, then one more we'll turn and then we'll look at some other stuff. The Gospel of John, again, 16th chapter, 33rd verse. John 16, 33. And again, he was talking to the disciples here. Because in 32, we'll back up just to 32, it says, but take notice, the hour is coming, and it has already arrived, when you will be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And then in verse 33 it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He says perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distresses and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and to have conquered it for you. Praise God. Those are powerful words. So he's telling us in those three scripture verses that this way of peace that only Jesus can provide is, again, we learn, just like grace, it's through him. Through him. Do we have a capacity to, as grace, or as our salvation, or as any of these doctrines, scriptural, spiritual truths, the power to possess them on our own, or to buy them, or to rent them, or to... they're truly a gift. Truly a gift that keeps on giving, right? The gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And in return, we need to seek that peace that only comes from Christ. So that we see again that peace is only found in Christ. And a good example of, you know, the flip side of the coin is, and I can't think of a better one, is God's chosen people, right? We studied the Israelites. With him or with the world, you know, it's basically what is the world's one retort, if you will, or when you see these, that's Cassie or Michaela. When you see the cry of the nation of Israel, what is it always for? What's that one thing you always hear about Israel? Peace. Pray for what? The peace for Israel. Pray for Israel's peace. Right? You hear that over and over and over. If you expose yourself to Judaism and the Jewish people, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Israel. And why is that? Why is there never any peace in? Why do they have to perpetually ask for prayer for peace? Because as we can see, the nation of Israel, right? We see it in the Old Testament before the nations were established. And now we see it since 1947 that they're surrounded on every side of them by their enemies. And they're in perpetual alertness, if you will, or awareness of... Now, is there peace in Israel today? The world kind of peace? Well, you know, I mean, if you talk to survey it, you know, a lot of these people, they probably say, well, yeah, you know, my peace comes from God. But see, we know, as Scripture tells us, that peace comes from a relationship with Christ, right? And what are they lacking? They don't have a relationship with Christ, right?
They don't think he's come yet.
Well, they're still anticipating, right? They're still waiting. So do you think it's coincidental that their peace is kind of, you know, dampened? They really have no peace? Personally, I don't think so. Because Jesus tells us in his word. Of course, now, they don't recognize any part of the New Testament, right? So in itself, to me, that's probably a good reason why they continue to this day to struggle with that and why they always pray for peace. Because they have none. You know, not the true peace, the peace that comes from a relationship with Christ. So, another question I wanted to raise is this this question of what does it take? I mean, we understand that the peace is a byproduct of grace. But then, to receive grace, what must we have? Pertaining to salvation, it's a clue, it tells us. And we dipped into it a little bit last week, and what was that faith? Is the peace of Christ possible without faith? I don't think so. I don't think so. So what does Scripture tell us? That if there is no faith, then you're going to all of a sudden pick and choose what attributes or what blessings or, you know, God tells us that without faith, again, it's impossible to please him. So, consequently, it's kind of like a pecking order, if you will, that, you know, if you were in the service or any military structure, you know you have that pecking order, if you will, that chain of command, you know. And in the heavenlies, the gifts, if you will, the fruits of the Spirit, of course, we know peace to be one of them, right? The nine, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. love, joy, peace, Jesus tells us that in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is the greatest of all, because bottom line, if you don't love your Creator, then the faith is going to be shaky. Speaking and singing on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. It kind of builds up in a pyramid, like love, peace, grace, joy, all these things that we speak of that we know to be from divine intervention. Again, from the world, we never receive them. If we're looking for peace from the world, guess what? We're going to come up short. And I guess basically, in summary then, this peace that is so important in a Christian's life, we can all, I'm sure if we went around the room and asked certain questions about our spiritual journey with Him, however long that may be, it's going to all vary, you know, as far as years go. You know, some have been on the journey longer than others. But I'm sure one thing that we will all have in common is the fact that at times in our journey, when peace is void, or when there are, well, the opposite, obviously, of peace is, like we discussed earlier, were trouble. Trouble meaning, and that disguises its, you know, like this Bible said, it went into a lot of different words for trouble. You know, irritations, distractions, annoyances. You know, there are a lot of different topics and words that we can use to describe things that distractions, if you will, that keep us from, and we know they come from this world, right? They come from the enemy, right? Because we know that his goal, first and foremost, is to basically make our lives, if you will, a living hell, because he doesn't want to see us be effective for God. You know, he can't win our souls back. He doesn't have us anymore. We've been exposed to the light. We see the light. We have the salvation. We receive the grace. Now, for us to be effective for Jesus, we need peace in our lives. Because I'm sure that all you guys will, I know when there's no peace in my life, it's hard. It's hard to stay focused, you know. We have to always drop what we're doing, so to speak, and get back and get back on our knees. You know, instead of trying to, and that I guess is the key to being effective for Christ, is to be in a constant state of peace. Because we know when there's peace in our lives, then it's going to be easier for us. We're not going to be distracted. We're not going to be frustrated. We're not going to be aggravated. We're not going to be angry. Because those are all basically the opposites of what peace brings to us. We think of peace, we think of, you know, just this perfect relationship, if you will, you know, with Him. You know, when we're at peace, it's easy for us to glorify Him. It's easy for us to help out, give a helping hand to our neighbor. It's easy for us to love somebody. A lot easier than if there is a void of peace in our lives. So, what did we learn? We learned that Scripture tells us that the way of peace, we know that it's found in only one place, and that's in Christ. So, that being said, Terry, well, kind of we knew that. Well, we knew that, but it's kind of like this time of the year now. We see baseball starting up tomorrow, spring training, right? And I've said this before, and I know you've heard me say this, that what do these guys always do? What do? These guys have been playing baseball. They're grown men. They've been playing baseball since they were 4 years old, 3 years old, blah, 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 blah. What do they do when they go back to spring training? What do they start doing? Fundamentals, right? Practice. Bunting, pitching, running, hitting, da-da-da-da. Well, why do they got to do this? They've been doing this for 30 years, a lot of them. But what do? You go back to the foundation. You go back to the fundamentals, right? Because that basically reestablishes, you know, they've been away from the game, so to speak, for a while. They've been distracted, if you will, right? Doing other things, spending all the money that they made, you know, doing whatever, you know. Hopefully some of them have been spreading the good news of the gospel. But they've been away from it, so now they get back to it, so they practice fundamentals. Well, when we find that there's no peace in our life, which I know we've all been there at times, you know, that comes and goes, depending upon situation and circumstances, right? That when the peace is not there, we need to get back to the fundamentals. We need to get down on our knees, and we need to pray for that peace, like we do when the Jerusalem says, we've got to pray for the peace in Jerusalem. We need to pray for the peace to come back into our hearts, and so it can flow from us to the world. Because the world doesn't know what it is. And when we extend Christ's peace to the world, then God is glorified because they see Jesus in it. So, that being said, let's turn, and I want to give us a... this is really inspirational scripture to me. And so now in the 2 weeks, we've learned that this grace and this peace comes only from Christ. It only comes from the Father through the Son to us, right? Supernatural. We can't buy it. We can't rent it. We can't earn it. We can't do nothing. We need to be in and under and in it and through it. So now, knowing this, I want to, go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And I think you all know where I'm heading, because this is such inspirational scripture. The 8th chapter of Romans. I guess we'll start at verse 31 and we'll go all the way down to the end of the chapter. Because these things, grace and peace, we know, again, I hate to keep repeating myself, but they're found in Christ. And when we're in Christ, then we can receive these things and we can function in these things. And then we can glorify God, right? So, that being said, the 8th chapter of Romans, the 31st verse, and this is great scripture. Not that any of it's better than other, but this is so inspirational. It says, being in Christ, what then shall we say to these things? And he was talking about, just before, if you read back in 28, well, we'll go all the way back to 28. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Right? To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. To whom he called, these he also justified. To whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now that's pertaining to salvation. That's not, that's pertaining to sanctification. That's not, well, this election as far as these people want to get off into Calvinism or Arminianism. But now knowing these things, verse 31, Romans 8, 31, what shall then we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? We ask ourselves, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Grace, peace, love, joy. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Well, we know in this world, a lot of people try to. But Scripture tells us that who can? They can try all they want. But we know that these naysayers, these skeptics, if you will, these unbelievers, they're lost. You know? God's telling us, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Right? Because we still live here in the world, right? That is ungodly. It's not our home, right? We're just passing through. But yet, we're here. And we're subjected to all these things that distract us, that annoy us, that anger us, that cause us not to be like him. Sanctification, right? We're set apart from the world, but we're still here. So, God's telling us. Jesus makes intercession for us as our advocate. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I don't know. It says, verse 36, as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. Pretty heavy. Pretty heavy stuff. But yet, we're here by the grace of God. And we have peace because we know all these things. And then verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Right? In us? Well, what does it say? Through who? Through him. Through him who loved us. So we know, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing of any pertinence or any good. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. Nothing. Nothing. So what do we have to be troubled? Why do we have to have these strife and divisions and these things that come into our life? If we focus in on that and we stay in him, but there's the peace, right? We have the peace to rely on when we do fall back and struggle and stumble. We have the peace through the grace, through him. And as we've discussed and as we have learned, maybe that's why Israel doesn't have peace right now. You think? You know? Maybe they should learn from Scripture. But then again, that's a whole other thing. Yeah, so, good. I hope it was informative, and I hope you can apply it to your life. And I know it's helpful to me as I continue on. Remember, it's a journey, and it ends. Well, we end when? We never end. I mean, we depart from here, but our journey is eternal. So let's take that and put it in our banks, if you will. And we have that to draw on. And we have that to look forward to. Because after all, we're here for a reason. And that reason is to learn, right? Because Scripture tells us that during the millennial reign, who's going to be reigning with Christ? We are. Cool, huh? Now, what your job's going to be, I guess, might depend on what you learn. I don't know. If that's the case, I'm in trouble. I know that. But, you know, that's why we strive, and that's why we continue to press into him, because we know that our journey is never-ending, and it's going to be exciting, it's going to be, as Scripture tells us, beyond our comprehensions, the things that the Father has for us. You know, praise God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your word. We just have so many things to be thankful for, Lord. And the only way we know how to do that is through our words, Lord. But a better way, as we learn, is through our lives, Lord. So I pray now that you would help us to be able to apply this word of yours to our lives, Lord, so that we may go out from these walls, Lord, and serve you and honor you and glorify you. You call us to be the salt. You call us to be the light, Lord. And that is truly what our heart's desire is, to be more like you, Lord. More of thee and less of me in my life, Lord, in all our lives, is our heart's desire and our cry, Lord. So help us now to be able to put these words of yours to practice in our life. That's where the knowledge that we receive from your word turns into wisdom when we apply it to our lives and we take it to the streets and we take it to the lost, Lord. So help us, Lord, and we thank you, and we know that because of you and your spirit, Lord, we know that your spirit is the key, Lord. So go with us tonight, Holy Spirit, and fill us perpetually each and every morning, even when we forget to pray for your indwelling, Lord. Be there for us now, because it's not by might or not by power or anything else, but it's by your spirit that we're able to overcome and to be your ambassadors, Lord. So fill us with your spirit, Father. We love you. We thank you. Continue to bless the team now and those folks that we prayed for, and especially Bernadette, Lord, as she recovers from the trauma that she's suffered, Lord. May she draw her strength, that peace, and that grace from you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.